All right, year 11. Here we are again. Looking at Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Open up your books to page 153 for me. We're still in this glimpse of hope, this section of normality where they're in the bunker and they're living a sense of normality. So normal, in fact, that there's even a toilet in which the boy is able to use. So something that obviously he's not used to and they're not used to. They're not even used to sleeping inside. But I want to draw your attention to the moment where they have a meal together and what the boy says during that meal and then some of the other good moments that they have during this brief interlude. Okay, page 153. We're going to pick it halfway down the road on the last paragraph. So follow along with me while I read. He dragged a footlocker across the floor between bunks and covered it with a towel and set out the plates and cups and plastic utensils. He set out a bowl of biscuits covered with a hand towel and a plate of butter and a can of condensed milk, salt and pepper. He looked at the boy. The boy looked drugged. He brought the frying pan from the stone and forked a piece of brown ham onto the boy's plate and scooped up scrambled eggs from the other pan and ladled out spoonfuls of baked beans and poured coffee into their cups. The boy looked up at him. "Go ahead," he said. "Don't let it get cold." "What do I eat first?" "Whatever you like." "Is this coffee?" "Yes, here. You put the butter on your biscuits like this." "Okay. Are you all right?" "I don't know." "Do you feel okay?" "Yes." "What is it?" "Do you think we should thank the people?" "The people?" "The people who gave us all this." "Well, yes, I guess we could do that." "Will you do it?" "Why don't you?" "I don't know how." "Yes, you do. You know how to say thank you." The boy sat staring at his plate. He seemed lost. The man was about to speak when he said, "Dear people, thank you all for all this food and stuff. We know that you saved it for yourself, and if you were here, we wouldn't eat it, no matter how hungry we were. And we're sorry that you didn't get to eat it, and we hope that you're safe in heaven with God." He looked up. "Is that okay?" he said. "Yes, I think that's okay." All right, so in this interlude where they're about to sit down and eat ham and coffee and biscuits with butter, it's so lovely to see them enjoying this meal together, and it just, again, you know, which they do throughout, but this one they're able to sit down and across from each other, using utensils, it says that, you know, and a foot locker that acts as a table between them. And so, as I said to you before, there's this sense of normality that they haven't had. Normally they're sitting on a tarp in a woods, you know, eating and scrambling together what they can, and yet here it seems so luxurious. And we get that emphasized by the line where it says the boy looked drugged, the metaphor there that's used to just emphasize how he's intoxicated by all this food, by this lavish meal that doesn't seem lavish to us, but at the time in this place and in this world and the narrative is. But the boy stops, and I think this is really important to, again, represent what Cormac McCarthy's trying to emphasize in that importance and significance of morality and holding on to core, human values here. And he has to stop, and he feels uncomfortable about eating the food before he gives thanks to the people that have left it. And his little, prayer of thank you is so interesting and gives such insight into the boy and his characteristic and the way that Cormac McCarthy has characterized him, to just hold that flame, that carry that fire that they've been talking about, which is hold on to the goodness of humanity. Here he says, no matter how hungry we were, we wouldn't take it from you if you were still here. We wouldn't steal, is what he's saying there. We wouldn't resort to that. Because we care, we're the good guys. We've looked at a couple of bleak parts of the novel, and it's really nice to see this normality. And in the next couple of pages, on page 155, they go back to the house and they have a bath, a warm bath. And that's really lovely too, to see the boy just enjoy this this bath and being clean. Now I just want to flip over a couple of pages to page 161, where the boy is talking about his haircut. Okay, so just page 161, the first full paragraph there. He sat the boy on the footlocker under the gas lamp, and with a plastic comb and a pair of scissors, he set about cutting his hair. He tried to do a good job, and it took some time. When he was done, he took the towel from around the boy's shoulders, and he scooped up the golden hair from the floor and wiped the boy's face and shoulders with a damp cloth and held a mirror for him to see. "You did a good job, Papa." "Good. I look really skinny." "You are really skinny." He cut his own hair, but it didn't come out so good. He trimmed his beard with the scissors while a pan of water heated, and then he shaved himself with a plastic safety razor. The boy watched. When he was done, he regarded himself in the mirror. He seemed to have no chin. He turned to the boy. "How do I look?" The boy cocked his head. "I don't know," he said. "Will you be cold?" All right, I just wanted to stop us there for a moment. Again, because this is this really lovely, normal moment where they're able to just do regular things, where they're able to stop worrying about the threat of their lives, they stop and just take a break. And, you know, the father is able to give his son a haircut, and he does it with care. You know, he obviously doesn't do it as much care with his own hair, but again, I just wanted to emphasize that familial love. And then this sort of almost brief moment of humor when he shaves his beard, and obviously it's been such a long time, who knows how long it's been since the man has been able to shave his beard completely. Maybe he's trimmed it, we don't know, but completely off, that it's both of them, it's strange to them to see him like this. And the boy cocking his head on the end of the bottom of page 161 and says, "I don't know, will you be cold?" I think that just brief moment of humour gives us this lighthearted interlude in this, you know, what is a really horrible, depressing novel in some ways. And I think it's really important that he uses that familial love and their relationship to do that. That it's that combined with the store of goods that they've found that gives us this sense of hope. And it's lovely to see them like this and to see their relationship. Okay. This one's just a brief one for now. I'm going to put another podcast on that you might get done this lesson. So what I want you to do is just go back through those couple of pages, and again, I'll get you to find some examples and pop them in a table that relates to morality, especially think about the prayer when you're putting, you know, find that example and put that into the study table around under the heading of morality, and then familial love, and just think about that moment of their hair cutting or them sitting down together to eat a meal. And what the father has prepared this meal for the son, to put under some examples under familial love. Okay, thanks for your 11.